At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
All right, here we go, Carver and Lisi with you,
Sports Grid Radio,
Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on a Friday night on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. A lot going on tonight, you know, although I will say, not as much as usual. There's no NBA till next week, although clearly you have some NBA tonight with the Rising Stars game, I guess they call this thing, that's going to start at 9 o'clock. So you do have that cooking, Rising Stars champion. We have all the All-Star Weekend festivities. We have one hockey game tonight. We have a few college basketball games. A couple decent ones as well. And we'll take a look at a huge Saturday and Sunday slate in college basketball. So we're going to look at all that. We've got the golf. Tiger finished at the golf. We've got UFC. Big UFC card this weekend. We'll get some picks from Hit Burbell. A little bit of everything here on a Friday night. Mike Carver with you. Solo mission. No Joe. As he'll be back with me on Monday. We will have our boy Coach Young in the first hour, who's going to mix it up with us and talk some rack when we get him involved. So a lot going on, as always, here on a Friday night on the grid. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 159. Here on a Friday night, Mike Carver, sans Joe. Joe out. He'll be back on Monday. Coach Young gonna come hang in a little bit. And we've got a lot to get to, that's for sure. So there is a few college games, as I mentioned, going on tonight. A few of significance, that's for sure. We have VCU up 7 at the half on St. Louis in the A-10. You have Villanova up 28-19 on Georgetown at the half. So that game a dead under right now. Live total of 119.5 between Nova and Georgetown. You got a lot of MAC action. And by MAC, I mean the Metro Atlantic Conference. Not the Mid-American. There is a Mid-American game tonight with Ohio and Toledo, which tips at the top of the hour. But we love the MAC action. Canisius and Marist. You got Manhattan and Iona tonight. Niagara and Fairfield. Niagara up 6 at the half. North Florida and Kennesaw State. That big total that Joe was after last night. That's 40-37 at the half. So they're looking pretty good. 162.5 the live total in that one. Yale and Penn in the Ivy. Yale taking it to Penn down in Philly. And New Mexico, San Diego State gets going. That's actually late night Mountain West game, 10 o'clock East. That's gotten up to 6.5 now for the Aztecs, as we will try to make things happen with them. One hockey game tonight, which is, by the way, how stupid is the NHL? And they've been known to make mistakes from time to time when it comes to marketing the game and being smart about things. How do you have one game scheduled tonight? There's no NBA. There's really not a lot going on. Could have had. You know what they should have did tonight? They should have did that thing they did a couple of months ago and have every team play tonight. That's what they should have did. Now, I know they can't do that. They got their big stadium series games this weekend, which I will be at one of them, by the way, on Sunday for the Islanders and the Rangers out of that dump MetLife. And the Flyers and the Devils are going to play there tomorrow night. I believe that is a night game, right? Yeah, 8 o'clock East. So they'll have the better, you know, it'll be a little bit colder for them on Saturday night, but they won't have the glare and the sun and all the nonsense that you deal with. They should play all these games at night. I know, even the Winter Classic, they should make that, forget the 1 o'clock, they should be playing that at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. The outdoor hockey games are just a better feel at night. I get it, it's colder, but it's a better feel in terms of the conditions out on the rink. So we have that. So a monster slate of hockey tomorrow instead of tonight, which, like we said, they're good at screwing that up. Carolina is a minus 200 favorite tonight at the college rink in Arizona. Total there is 6.5. You lay the goal and a half with Carolina at plus +120. And in the NBA, the Rising Stars game starts at 9 East. Now, I believe they play to a certain number, is what I was told, with the rules of this. So you need to know the rules before you actually, if you actually want to bet these things tonight, you've got to at least know how they play the game. So how it works, here we go. It's four teams. Give me the rules. Here it goes. All three games in the mini tournament will be played to a final target score, which means each game will end on either a made basket or a free throw. So the target score of 40 here. So these teams are playing to 40. That's why if you went and looked, they have actually numbers for these games. There's totals of 74.5, 72.5. But, I mean, a team blows them out, you know, 40 to 20, 60. I feel like unders are the move here in these things. And they'll play the final game featuring the winners will be played to a final target score of 25. That's it? I feel like that's going to go quickly. This may be over in a flash here. The Pau Gasol team is even money. That's because they have Wembanyama. And then you have the Tamika Kachik team, which is plus +240. They have Banchero. Banchero doing a little double duty here. He's playing tonight, and he's playing Sunday in the real game, which means he won't get a lot of burn tonight. Then you have Jalen Rose, Jalen Rose's team, which is plus +320. They have Chet Holmgren, Lively, Mathurin, Jalen Williams, Jordan Hawkins, Walter Kessler, and then the Detlef Schrempf team, which is all G League guys. Mack McClung, Oscar Shebe, Toshibe, Imani Bates, Tyler Smith, so some names you know there. They are 10-1 to win this thing. They have lines for these first two games. Detlef plays Pau, so it's minus 6.5, 72.5. And the Banchero team is 2.5-point favorites over the Jalen Rose Chet Holmgren team. So if you actually want to get involved with some Rising Stars action tonight, they have that for you. Tomorrow night is all the other nonsense, the three-point contest, the dunk contest, the Sabrina Ionescu Steph Curry three-point shootout that they're going to have. So, got a lot going on. Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're just getting rocking on a Friday night on the grid. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Play. And we're back. Carver and Lisi. Oh, I let that one go too long, huh, Matthias? I let that one go too long. Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio. 844-843-6879. Here with you on the grid. We'll get Coach in at some point. And I have, this week we've spent a lot of time, like, I guess me and Joe, trying to, you know, we're upset that football's over, so we're just trying to keep ourselves, our attention with some very silly bets is what we've been trying to do. And we've been locked in on some really low mid-major stuff lately. So last night it was, who the hell were we on last night? Merrimack against Stonehill. The night before that, it was IUPUI against the 0-26 Detroit Mercy team. I'd love to get involved in some of these MAC games. Unfortunately, it's like almost every team's in New York. I can't bet any of them. I'd love to get in on Fairfield here down one. But I don't think I could do that in New York. Because Niagara, of course, up from the Buffalo area. We'll kick Carver and Lisi off tonight with Danny, who joins us. Danny, good to hear from you, my man. What's going on?
Is that me?
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Yo, it's Manny. It's Manny, bro.
Oh, Manny. Manny. What's up, Manny? I'm sorry. You know what? That's Matthias's fault. Matthias gets docked 2 days there for that one. Sorry, Matthias. One less
hey,
UFC pick
hey, dock him one
Manny
more.
On the line.
Yeah, you got to dock him one more for playing the wrong stand-up and shout. There's only one stand-up and shout, and that's from Ronnie James Dio.
Yes. Look, we you're right about that, but me and Joe have talked about that Rockstar movie quite a bit, so we always have a little bit of fun with that. Always have a little bit of fun. Manny, what's going on, man? Where you been?
Oh, man, you know, I've been going to a lot of concerts. I called a couple times, but, you know, I guess no one was at the other end a couple times.
Wow.
Are you going to the Winter Classic this weekend?
I am, Manny. I'm going Sunday to the Islander Ranger one. I'm going.
I'll probably be there, bro.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yes, I will be there nice and early, I think. Probably around noon. A couple of hours before. Noon, 12:30, somewhere around there. I'll probably be hanging around the lot, making some rounds.
Nice. Yeah, well, check your Twitter. I'll let you know where I am.
Okay, let me know. And we're taking the over in that, 5.5? We're going to go with the over?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think we have to. I mean, I'll play the Islanders, too, just because I'm a sucker. But the over is probably what I like more.
Is the sun going to be shining into the goalie's eyes?
Yeah, you know, I was saying before at the beginning of the show, I think they should play all these games at night. I don't know why they play them in the afternoon. Just for that aspect alone. I've been to a couple way back in the day where there's been delays because of sun glare. I think the first time they did the Yankee Stadium game, which was the first one, was an afternoon game, Devils Rangers. It was delayed by hours. I was at the Citizens Bank, I think, for a Ranger Flyer one where similar thing happened. They needed to wait a little while. You know, the Penguins and Caps had a hard time one year in Pittsburgh as well. Just play the game at night. Just play it at night.
Yeah, the Devils Philly is at night, the night before.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's Saturday night, 8 o'clock. But look, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm saying that, Manny, but trust me. By the time we walk out of that place at like 6 o'clock on Sunday, you're going to be glad it's over because it's probably going to be freezing. So probably
oh,
better.
Oh, yeah. Hey, where's Lisi at?
Not in tonight. Off tonight. No Joe tonight.
Well,
he's off tonight. I'm out a couple days next week. So. Oh, what is it? Give me the new name.
All right. So he's no longer, until college football starts, he's no longer the encyclopedia. He's the librarian. You know why?
Oh, boy.
Because he puts the books on the shelf.
All right. The librarian of college football, Manny. Now, I'll hit him with that on Monday when he, as soon as he comes in, he's going to know, what are you talking about? What do you mean the librarian? We're going to get him right out of the gate. We're going to give him the business. The librarian of college football.
That's right.
I like that, Manny. Good job. What else? You got anything else for me tonight? There's a very short slate. You're not playing anything tonight?
No, I don't got nothing in the chamber. But I did hit after the college football championship. I rolled over the money into when exactly Caitlin Clark was gonna hit the record, and I nailed it.
Wow! Nice job. Good job by you. That's not easy to do, but wasn't it? What was it for a three? What'd you do? So you played it for it to be a three-pointer?
No, I played. It was the exact date. So
when did you put that in?
The college football championship night.
Oh my God, dude! How'd you come up with that one?
I broke out the calculator. You know, I figured the average points per game, and I figured she wouldn't really be going off for like 40 points crazy. And I just picked the right day, and I knew they would hold it for a home game. If she was close to the record, I knew they'd hold it for the home game.
What'd you get for that, Manny? What price did you get for that?
That was like a plus 185.
Okay.
Something like that.
So it was around that area, because I'm sure it was within the range of when they thought it might happen. But at least you got a nice number for
that. Yeah, it was either that or the game before, yeah.
All right. Great job as always, Manny. Let me know where you're at on Sunday at the game, all right?
Will do, man.
And stay safe in the car. There he is, our man Manny, who... we love here on Carver and Lisi. Let's also fit in Kevin from Washington before we go to the break. Kevin, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not a lot, Mike. On my way home, and I had to ask you a couple of questions. And I've got one comment on the Super Bowl. Pacheco not scoring a touchdown was the only miss I had on an 8-leg parlay. That hurt.
Oh. Now,
the other things, you know, Kelsey got his yards. I went Pacheco under the yards. I went Mahomes over the yards. I mean, it was clicking in the second half. And I thought, okay, let's get to that second overtime and let him run one in. but that was all right. Now, my two questions are this.
Yeah.
Okay. Trey Young. Okay, there's no argument. He's a great player. Okay,
great player.
But I heard all kinds of hemming and hawing about him not making the All-Star game. And he was on a roll. I mean, he was scoring at will, no problem. Several games before it was announced that he was going to be one of the replacements in. Once that was announced, the next three games, look at his production. It fell off the charts. And I'm like, and from a betting standpoint, that hurt. So,
yeah.
And my last thing is this. Do you think the Suns are putting it together to where they can make that run and win the West? Or are they going to run into a buzzsaw, a.k.a. L.A. Lakers, Denver Nuggets?
Thanks as always. Appreciate the call, Kev. That's for sure. I would not be back. I'm not back in the Suns for two reasons. In fact, I'll get into a little more when we come back. But number one, I just can't trust that they're all going to stay on the court together between Durant and Booker and Beal. It's already not happening. Beal's had a couple injuries this year. That would be my biggest issue. I'll tell you the other when we come back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us on a Friday night on the grid. Mike Carver with you, sans Joe, is he out? And we'll get Coach Young in at some point. We'll talk some rack with him as the NBA's on their All-Star break. They got this Young Stars game tonight, four teams, mini games. They're playing to 40.
And then 25, one team's got G League kids on it. Seems like the Wembanyama team at even money is almost too easy, right? Seems too easy. I mean, to go and do that. Just to finish up with what Kev was saying, Kev from Washington was saying before the break, with the Suns. See, my thing with the Suns is, one, I don't think that they will be healthy. Two, I don't think that their depth is any good. Even if they are healthy, not healthy, doesn't matter. And three, I just don't think they're as good as some of these other teams anyway. Even if they did were at full strength. Now, look, Durant and Booker on any night could beat anybody. Those guys are on. They can absolutely carry a team. Can they carry them to 16 wins in four rounds of playoffs? That's tough to say. That's real tough. Without a really good supporting cast, I'd have to say no. Could they get him through a couple rounds? Sure. Get him the whole way? I don't think they have enough. I think Denver's better than them. I think the Clippers are better than them. You know, OKC and Minnesota are unproven. You know, it's could they beat Denver or LA or Oklahoma City? You know, could they beat them in a series? Of course they could. Could they beat three or four of them? That I don't believe. I just don't believe that they'd be able to get that whole thing. They're not consistent enough. They don't have enough depth. So I'm out, Kev, on the Suns. I'm just not going to be there. I mean, the number's slipping down enough where maybe at some point it's worth taking. You know, in the West, it's 750 now. Nuggets and Clippers are in the 200 range. So, I mean, that's as low as the number's been all year. High, I should say. So there's that. I want to get into one thing here, and then I want to talk about the golf, because it was a very weird day at Riviera, at the Genesis. But Niagara's up 48-44 on Fairfield. This was a coach special today with Fairfield about the travel. Niagara making the bus trip from upstate New York down to Connecticut. There's 11 minutes to go. It's a four-point lead now for Niagara. Fairfield minus 106 on the money line. I kind of want to jump in. I would love to jump in on Fairfield, but I can't in New York. So I urge somebody else to. If Joe was here, I would force him to play it, like I did with the Syracuse, North Carolina, the game the other night, and he ended up losing a ticket. That's what I would do. I would force him to do it. I think the only MAC game that I can play is the Mount St. Mary's game against Ryder. And that's just not appealing to me whatsoever. Not as much as this Fairfield game is. Where is that game right now? With the MAC. Mount up 44-33 on Ryder. The other four MAC games I cannot play. Do not have access due to New York State laws. So go get Fairfield if you want to. We'll see if Coach could play these in New Jersey. So we'll see how Coach is feeling about it when he comes in. VCU now up 6 on St. Louis. So St. Louis giving a little pushback here at home. And we'll see if they can cover that number, which was anywhere from 6.5, 7.5 earlier in the day. It's 7.5 live right now. And the total in that Kennesaw State game, that's 56-55 with them in North Florida. They're at the under 12 timeout in the second half. And that total is now 165.5. Wasn't it 168 last night when we checked? I think it was in that 168 range. For that game when Joe was talking about it. All right, let me do a couple minutes on the golf. Of course, Tiger's event at Riviera. And it was weird from this aspect today. Clearly you saw that Tiger Woods didn't make it. Now, I was obviously watching this all day today. And you knew Tiger was talking about his back when he finished yesterday. He didn't look right early. I mean, he did birdie the first hole again, but he only made it, I think, to the 6th tee box. Hit the tee shot there, and then he was done after that. It was with an illness. Apparently wasn't feeling well. And Woodland then said afterwards, you know, he didn't look right the whole day. They had the ambulance out there outside Riviera. Look, Obviously, this has not been easy for Tiger these last 3 years. Whenever he tries to play these big events, he's only finished two of them, I believe, now. I think he's only finished two. He's got a couple missed cuts. He's got, now I think this is his second or third withdrawal. So, I mean, immediately it's Tiger's broken down. He's finished. Can't play. Or he can't play for 4 days. Listen, you watch him yesterday. He can still play. The problem is him playing an entire tournament each weekend. Now, they made a point of saying here tonight that it wasn't his back, it wasn't his foot, it wasn't this, it wasn't that. It was just strictly he was sick. And you have to take them, I guess, at that with face value. Just, I mean, he was bending over. You know, just it looked like he was stretching his back a hole or two before he left. He had his hands in his head. But maybe he was really sick. It would have been nice to see him play all four, because all that we've heard coming into this week is how he's the best he's felt in the last 3 years since the accident. He's able to get around a little bit better. He's walking a lot better than he walked last year. You know, last year he only played the Masters, had to withdraw on Saturday. You know, the year before that it was tough for him, but he wanted to play, of course, at St. Andrews. Hopefully he plays the Masters and he's able to play all 4 days. And he's never going to win tournaments again, at least I don't think he is. But we love seeing Tiger out there. It's tough to watch at times, but he still shows you those signs. And he still hits a couple good shots. He definitely can't putt as good as he used to. There's no doubt about that. But it's unfortunate that he got sick. At least that's what they're telling us happened to him. And we'll see if he comes out there at the Masters in about 6 weeks. Although I don't know if he planned on playing the Players this year. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if he's getting himself involved there. I'd be interested to see if he does now after not playing the full weekend at this. If he tries to slide himself in somewhere else before Augusta. You know he's going to play the Masters, whether... I mean, he'll always drag himself to that tee box in Augusta. Always going to do it. Now, there was a couple of other weird things that happened there today. This just came down moments ago. So, Jordan Spieth apparently marked his card wrong today. So, late word here, Jordan Spieth chopped. He's out. Disqualified. DQ'd. From the tournament. Now, Spieth doubled 18 today, which put him in a miserable spot. He was playing really well, but the issue was with... Let me get this right here. Where was the... What hole did he score wrong? He signed a 3 on the fourth hole, but he actually made a 4. So, you sign an incorrect scorecard, they chop you. So Jordan Spieth out. So if you had some Jordan Spieth tickets, you can rip them up. If you had Tiger tickets, you can rip them up. If you had Justin Thomas tickets, you can rip them up. He didn't make the cut. There was only 70 guys there. They were only cut 17 guys because it was 50 in ties and within 10 shots of the lead. Obviously, with the lead that Cantlay has, there wasn't really gonna be any help there aside from the 50. And Justin Thomas just played awful. It's the first bad round he played probably in 7 or 8 rounds. I think he had 6 straight appearances where he at least was tied for 12th or better. And he was abysmal today. And I can tell you that because I was on him. And it was, even Tiger left. I still stayed with JT and I'm watching. It's just, I had to turn it off. I couldn't watch him play anymore. So, a very strange day, which saw Justin Thomas play awful, get chopped at the cut. Spieth sign a wrong card, get chopped, disqualified. And Tiger not make it through because he was sick. No back, no foot. He was sick. So, and I keep seeing the Gary Woodland quotes coming. Gary and JT obviously played with him. Woodland said, "I saw it. He obviously wasn't himself. He just didn't look right. Saw that before the round started. I feel bad for him. He wasn't right. He definitely was trying to fight through it, and I hope he's all right. All right. I mean, we got to go with what they say. They say he's sick. He's sick. Tiger. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Carver sans Lisi. Joe out. He'll be back on Monday. Coach will join us later. Here on a Friday night on the grid. One last thing. So I got this is from Tiger's, I guess his business partner, vice president of TGR Ventures. This guy spoke a couple hours after Tiger had to withdraw. He said that Tiger was treated with an IV bag. He had flu-like symptoms, fever, dizzy, dehydrated, some type of flu. Says it was not physical at all. Back is fine. Foot is fine. So they brought the ambulance there as a precaution. Symptoms reversing themselves after an IV, so that's why they didn't put him in the ambulance. So it's like Tiger got, you know, Tiger not feeling good. Couldn't get through round two. Hopefully we see him again soon. It is better when Tiger's out there. There's more juice. I mean, you got to go in with the expectations. And this actually was, from a betting perspective, this was precisely what we've said for the 3 days before this tournament with Tiger. Always bet on Tiger on Thursday. And, look, he finished plus one. There was bets out there. There was that great boost with the three birdies on FanDuel, which was a hit. He made five birdies. Five birdies for him, I think, was plus 210, something like that. You know, there was some Thursday wagers for him. But you, at this point, and I know that this sounds like it's just sickness and it's not that he couldn't get through because of his body that's basically been fused back together. But still, it's fun to watch Tiger play. It ain't fun to bet on Tiger for a full tournament. Can't bet on him. Definitely not to win. Please don't waste your time doing that. But even the top 10s, the top 20s, you know, we tried to even have a little fun with the 30 because there was only 70 guys here. Even if he made it through today, I don't think that was going to go well with him getting into that. If Tiger's playing in a tournament, whether he lines him up for the Masters, whatever, you play him Thursday to have a good round because it's when he's his freshest. Maybe make the cut if you get a good number. But you really can't dabble any further than that. But it is fun seeing him out there. It's a shame he got hurt. He got sick. And he couldn't finish it off today. Patrick Cantlay is the favorite. He's minus 150 live. And that's because he has a five-stroke lead, which is real unfortunate because we can't stand Patrick Cantlay. So Cantlay's 13 under after two rounds. Luke List and Jason Day and Mackenzie Hughes are all 8 under. Corey Connors is at 7. Willie Z, Xander Schauffele, Tom Hoagie, all at 6 under. So there's some names up here. Scheffler's 4 under, but he's probably too far back at Cantlay. I mean, he's 9 back of him. What are they giving you for Scheffler? You know, Scheffler's 9 shots back, and he's 20-1, and he has missed a billion putts under 10 feet this week. Oh, it's been brutal to watch. But one last note I'll give you before I move on from this. Cantlay, this is his 6th time, or maybe this is 7th. Let me get the right, the exact number here. We don't want to mess this up. Because I thought this was a very good stat. And when it comes to Patrick Cantlay and him finishing the job, this is his 7th. So it has been 6 times before. This is his 7th 36-hole lead or co-lead on the PGA Tour. He is 0-6 on converting those to wins. 0-6. This is a 5-shot lead. We'll see if Cantlay can finish the job. You know, we've seen at Riviera guys run away and hide. I mean, it was a couple of years ago. Joaquin Neiman did that. Nobody caught him after the first two rounds. He just ran away and hide on Saturday and Sunday. I could see Patrick Cantlay doing that here today, or doing that this weekend, we should say. So there you go with the PGA. We got also a big UFC event this weekend as well. Now, we've talked about this a little this week, but this Volkanovski, who's the champ, is fighting Topuria. I'm sure I said his name wrong, but Matthias, he'll slide in. Where's it?
You got it, baby.
Hit the bell this week? Did we do a hit the bell?
It's coming. It's in production. It's coming. Releasing before the fights tomorrow morning, baby. Let's go.
All right, so Saturday morning we'll get hit the bell out there and let everybody get in the mix here for these fights. Now, you have been – you're like double and tripling down on this Volkanovski on Saturday night, right? You're all in on this guy?
Oh, there's no way I'm betting against him, man. There's no way. After doing the homework and doing the analysis and just like, I'm not following the whole critique. I'm not going with the new era, the new wave. No. This is so similar to Brian Ortega, Max Holloway. It's very similar. I kid you not, guys. Straight up, Max Holloway went up to weight to fight Dustin Poirier. You know, he was a featherweight king at the time. Poirier pieced him up. And then here is Brian Ortega, this young, hungry featherweight, waiting for Max Holloway. Everybody thinks Max is going to lose. He finally lost, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, Max goes back down to featherweight and completely puts on a clinic on Ortega, rearranges his face, sends him back to the boonies, back to training, back to basics. And this is something I have a feeling it's going to be something very similar with Volkanovski and Ilya Topuria. Don't get me wrong, Topuria is a great undefeated fighter. You know, good boxer. But at the same time, Volkanovski is well-rounded in every single department. We're talking about one of the pound-for-pound best. Not just the featherweight champ, not just like a top 15 guy in the pound-for-pound fighting rank. We're talking about the number two guy right now, trying to, you know, and he was nearly the pound-for-pound best after he nearly beat Islam Makhachev for the lightweight belt of the world. He was almost a double champ. You know, he's only lost to the lightweights. He's never lost to a featherweight, and he's made it look easy the entire way around. I think he's going to beat Topuria, and he's going to beat him in round three once he starts to gas a little bit. You know what I mean? Volkanovski has been in there with some pound-for-pound greats, and he's been in there with some heavy hitters, with guys the same size as him, bigger than him. He's been down 2-0 against Max Holloway and figure out a way to win the next three rounds to contain the belt. You know, this guy is a real champion, not a fluke champion, not a guy who just beat what's-his-name and he's lucky to be there. This guy's a staple and might possibly be the best featherweight champion to ever live. But that, you know, we'll find that out down the line after a couple more belt defenses. But there's no way I think that Ilya Topuria goes in there and puts on a clinic against Volkanovski. There's no way.
And we're just playing this guy straight. We're not doing any of this knockout or four rounds.
No. If I want to get Q Carver, I'm going to think about maybe a finish in round three or in round four, depending on what the money's looking like, depending on what the numbers look like. You know, I don't think you'll get an early round one stoppage. You know, Topuria is a tough guy. But at the end of the day, we haven't seen that cardio tank go past round three. You know what I mean? We're going to see this guy now fight a real fighter, a top elite fighter. He's yet, in my opinion, to fight an elite fighter in the featherweight division. Bryce Mitchell is a good fighter. You know, Josh Emmett is an excellent fighter. But those guys are gatekeepers of the top five. I want to see him fight a Yair Rodriguez. I want to see him fight a Brian Ortega, a Max Holloway. You know, after he beats a guy like that, in that type of class, then he could say, hey, I'm the best guy, I'm the number one contender, blah, 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 blah. The only reason he's the number one contender is because Volkanovski has destroyed Holloway three times. He's beat Ortega, and he's beat Yair Rodriguez. There's nobody else left. So what does that mean? Topuria gets the next shot because he beat Josh Emmett. He wasn't even able to finish Josh Emmett. Did he still whoop his ass? He definitely did. But at the end of the day, we haven't seen Topuria fight against a top elite level featherweight. And this is going to be the first time, man. And we don't even know how he's going to respond to that championship type of nerves, that anxiety. Is he going to warm up too much? Is he going to get too hot in the back prior to his fight? Is he going to be like Deontay Wilder before he fought Tyson Fury the first time, where he wore a freaking night suit up to the ring and he was gassed out before the fight even started, Carver? You know, we don't know the answers to these questions yet, because he's never been in a fight like this before. You know, it was really cool to see the Spanish legends send Topuria like a good luck type of video. We're talking about the best Spanish athletes, you know, Rafa Nadal, the best Spanish soccer players. You know, they made a 2.5 minute long video all, you know, wishing Topuria the best of luck. You know, this guy has a big following in Spain. I'm not calling this guy unpopular. You know, I'm just saying that this guy is not ready to fight Volkanovski. And the fact that this guy has grabbed his belt multiple times and taken pictures with the belt as if he's already won something, man, I really do believe in karma. I really do. Unless your name is Conor McGregor. But if your name's not Conor McGregor and you don't have the luck that Conor McGregor had and the buildup that he had going into his fights, you know, I don't want to see that. And I think he jinxed himself. I really do. If I was Topuria, I would have never have touched that belt. That's like touching the World Cup trophy before you play the game. And you know what would happen if you touch the World Cup trophy before the game starts. That means you're going to lose. It's simple as that. You're going to lose, and I don't know why he did that, Carver. I really don't.
Man, Matias all over this fight. All over it. Alright, so can I play fight ends on points at plus 125? Or is somebody getting knocked out?
You know, if that's what happens, it'll be a classic. I just don't think that he'll be able to sustain Volkanovski's pressure for 5 rounds. If Topuria wins this fight, it's going to be because he gets a crazy punch in the first round and, you know, hits something in the back of the ear and he drops Volkanovski and he wins the fight and, you know, he becomes a featherweight champion of the world. And if that happens, I'll bow down to the guy. You know what I mean? Nobody thought that Conor McGregor was going to knock out Jose Aldo in the first 12 seconds of the fight. You know what I mean? The stars were aligned for Conor McGregor. The stars were meant for Conor McGregor to become the double champ and to become, you know, the face of the UFC, and then, you know, this whole whiskey company that was meant for him. You know, he was very lucky to do what he did and the way that he did it. I just don't see that happening to Topuria. You know what I mean? I don't see him landing a huge shot behind Volkanovski's ear. And even if he does drop Volkanovski, Volkanovski's durable, man. Volkanovski was dropped twice by Max Holloway in a fight, kicked in the back of the head behind the ear twice, and he still figured out a way to come back and win the fight. And it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't a robbery. He literally gave it to Max for 3 straight rounds after Max had a 2-0 lead the second time they fought, and he figured out how to win that fight. You know, we're talking about a guy who went with Islam Makhachev for 5 rounds and nearly beat the guy. Shoot, 75% of the people did think he won that fight. He was that close to becoming a double champ if it wasn't for a scorecard, Carver. You know what I mean? If that's the case, Topuria would even be fighting in this fight right now. You know, Volkanovski is the real deal, and if you don't think so, go rewatch his tapes, and you're going to see real quick that he's a badass.
Certainly seems that way. We'll have to put something on him. We'll get a little something with him. We'll put it with the golf. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back right after this on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Despite the fact that I have not been able to get involved in this game because I'm in New York, I have been watching this Niagara-Fairfield game, and Fairfield just tied it at 63 with just under 2 minutes to go in the game. So the Stags here are going to try to get this done for us against the Purple Eagles with 1:53 to go. Big shot by Fields right there. Marist up 20 on Canisius. VCU now up 6 on St. Louis with about 6 minutes to go. So they have struggled there. That Kennesaw State North Florida game is going to go right down to the wire with that total. It's 81-79. Make it 81-81 with 30 seconds to go. Wow. So $1.62 and some potential overtime. Toledo starts in about 5 minutes. They're 5.5-point favorites at home against Ohio. Later tonight, New Mexico and San Diego State will get going. What happened in that, that Villanova, I guess the Villanova game must have ended. It's not on the board anymore. It did, 70-54. Wow, that went way over in the second half. Wow, 77 points in the second half of that game. How about that? 70-54 win for Villanova on the road at Georgetown. They get it done. We'll go through all the college basketball for Saturday and Sunday. Mostly Saturday. There's a couple good games Sunday as well. We'll do that and more. A little All-Star Weekend stuff as well. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.